Going to focus on the laws of Yom Tov, primarily the laws of Muktzah on Yom Tov. And so the first Mishnah already throws us into the pot of Muktzah. When we speak about Muktzah, we have to know that there is a machloket going from Makatzeh la Katzeh. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. How stringent are we with Muktzah? Do we say that Muktzah applies to everything except for the things you specifically have in mind to use over Shabbat and Yom Tov? Or do we say, no, Muktzah is just those things which are completely out of your mind for Shabbos and Yom Tov? Those are the two extremes, and then there are opinions in the middle. Much of the Masechet will revolve around Muktzah. Now, the Muktzah begins with Muktzah. What do I mean? What does Muktzah mean? Muktzah is when you take figs, you put them on the roof to dry, and figs are cut off the tree with a tool called a muktzeh, and then you put them up on your kotzeh te'inim, and then you put them up on the roof to dry, and that's also called putting them in the muktzeh. You're putting them where you put them after you harvest them, you put them on the roof to dry, and as they dry, the instrument is probably not muktzeh, I don't remember the name of the instrument, but it's called to be kotzeh te'inim. So they put them up there to dry on the roof, and through this drying process, well, we know raw figs are yummy. Dried are yummy. In the middle is not edible. So the halacha says that when a person puts them up on the roof, and then they enter that stage after they're not ripe anymore and not yet dry, they enter that stage where they're not edible, so then we say you can't touch them on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because no one in their right mind would want to have anything to do with them. They're not really edible. So the classical case of Muktzeh is that the figs that are up on the roof, that are in the process of drying, and they're not edible now. Now, the question is, what do we derive from that case? Do we say, just like there, where it's something that's completely not edible and you never want to have anything to do with it, so too we say other things are muktzeh. You can't use your car, so your car keys are muktzeh. You're never going to touch them on Shabbos. Can't use your cell phone, that's muktzeh. Things that are completely beyond you. You have a very expensive car, okay, you're not touching that on Yom Tov on Shabbos. But what about things that are less serious? Your pen, your pencil? Those, you're not writing on Shabbos, but maybe it's not the same thing. It's not that level of distance from you.
As opposed to the car keys?
Car keys have to do with a car that's very expensive. You don't want to touch that in Yom Tov. You don't just use that when you have to scrape the ice off your car. You don't use them because they're precious. They're expensive. They have to do with something expensive. So do we say it's something that's very distant from you, and then everything else is okay? Or do we say, no, just like those figs, you didn't think before Shabbos you're going to eat them, so too, you have to specifically think A, B, or C is something I'm going to use on Shabbat. So we're going to begin with a discussion of an egg, beitza, shenoleda b'yom tov, that the chicken laid the egg on Yom Tov, and Beis Shammai teach us, Beis Shammai Omrim Teochel, you could eat that egg, and Beis Hillel say, Lo Teochel, you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because we say that what's called Hachana de Rabba. Rabba taught that the Torah says food that's eaten on Shabbos and Yom Tov must be prepared on a weekday. If Yom Tov follows Shabbos, so we say that any egg that's laid today came to its final preparation in the chicken yesterday. Any egg that's laid today came to its final stage yesterday. So if it had this preparation on Shabbos before Yom Tov, then it's asur. So he says every Yom Tov is asur because sometimes you'll have a Yom Tov after Shabbos. Every Shabbos is asur because sometimes you'll have Shabbos after Yom Tov. So we forbid all Shabbos and all Yom Tov. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. What?
Yeah, okay, one more time in regards to the original. So The egg is always ready the day before.
And any egg that's hatched today, what reached its completing stage yesterday. And if
for
yesterday
Shabbat,
was
the problem. If Shabbat, let's say theoretically, if you have for Shabbat weekday, that would be okay. But if
so Chazal said we're going to forbid all Shabbatot because of the Shabbatot that come after Yom Tov, and we will forbid all Yom Tov because of the Yom Tov that comes after Shabbat. Chazal forbade all of them.
Why not? Shabbat that comes after Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov we are.
Because, and so we derive from the pasuk that every Shabbos must have its preparation on weekdays, and every Yom Tov must have its preparations on weekdays. I have a question.
I don't know if we should mix halacha lemaaseh here.
No, let's leave halacha lemaaseh now. Beit Shammai Umrim, now we're going to list a bunch of cases that revolve around Yom Tov, where Beit Shammai are more lenient than Beit Hillel. Technically, what?
Yeah,
technically, Beit Shammai are always most stringent. Here, the Mishnah enumerates a few instances where Beit Shammai are more lenient. So the next instance is when it comes to chametz and sour. We know sour is the sourdough that you put into the regular dough to make it rise. So Beis Shammai say the Torah prohibits sour and chametz. The Torah says we are prohibited from eating them on Pesach. We are prohibited from having them in our possession on Pesach. What's the minimum volume that the Torah is prohibiting? Beit Shammai Umrim, Se'or Bichtezayit. The minimum volume that you have to get rid of your home is a volume of an olive of sourdough. V'chametz v'chakotevit. And chametz is the volume of a date. So these are the volumes that the Torah is prohibiting from leaving lying around. When it comes to eating, everyone agrees that the Torah prohibits eating chametz, meaning a kezayis. But when it comes to lo valyero, valyematze, you're not allowed to have it in your possession. So then Beis Shammai say, the volume is a kezayit of sor and a kotevit of chametz. Beit Hillel umrim, zeh v'zeh b'kezayit. Beis Hillel say, they are both gauged by a kezayit. Notice Beis Hillel are more lenient because the volume of a kotevit, the volume is more, yeah. A date
it's
is considered.
It's a shachalit yabesh, which is drying.
Okay.
I thought the kazait of that time also was.
So I guess their kotevit was also bigger. Kotevit is bigger. That's what Chazal said. Yeah? I don't know. So the machloket between them is really about the kotevet, right? Is about the chametz, because the seor they both agree is a kezayit. It's about the chametz that they're arguing. The Beis Shammai say the volume is kotevet, and they still say is a kezayit. And the Gemara goes into the doshot where they get it.
Yeah. Why dafka with chametz? Chametz you'd expect it to be. Even Shammai to be more stringent, no? Since it's chametz.
I don't know.
There is an issue there that otherwise seor is not. There you'd dafka expect him to be more lenient, if there was such an argument.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, Mishnah Bet. So, the machloket here is about the mitzvah of bi'ur. Right? Now we're going on. Now we're going on to a machloket when it comes to kisui adam. We know that the Torah tells us in Parshas Achrimos that when we slaughter a wild animal, a chaya, or a bird, an oaf, then we have a mitzvah to cover some of the blood with sand or something similar. So if someone comes to the court and asks us, I want to slaughter one of these on Yom Tov, so Beis Shammai say that the courts will tell him, you could shecht, and then dig. If you have a shovel that you prepared yesterday with earth, so you could take out that shovel and cover it with the earth. Now we're talking about a situation where the earth is completely ground up and the shovel already has the earth separate, ready to cover the blood. If someone's coming to slaughter a wild animal or a bird on Yom Tov, and he comes to us in court and asks, can I do it? With what will I cover it? So Beis Shammai say, we tell him, if you have a deker, if you have this shovel prepared from before Yom Tov, that it's already, it has the dirt in it, and the dirt is all ground up, ready to be covered. So then, we say, fine.
The dirt ready to cover the blood.
Right.
Somewhere on the side of the
heap. What?
On the heap, like the actual, the dirt is prepared somewhere, it doesn't have to be on the shovel, on top of the shovel. It's in a certain area, designated. What's the kosher to the actual shovel?
So the idea here is that he has the shovel ready in the earth. When the shovel's ready in the earth, so that's when Chazal permitted him to lift out the earth and take it to cover. If he didn't prepare it in advance, then not. And technically, even Beis Shammai wouldn't let him get away with this. The only reason is because we have Simchas Yom Tov. We want him to enjoy the Yom Tov. But we wouldn't tell him to shecht if he didn't actually prepare the earth. If all he did was stick the shovel in the earth, we wouldn't allow him to shecht. Unless he prepared the earth and the earth is sitting in a bucket outside the ground. It's not enough that he stuck in the shovel into the earth. He has to have it literally prepared in a bucket or something before Yom Tov. Umudim, and everyone agrees, Shim Shachat, that if he did already slaughter, Shechbo Badekel, that we let him use that shovel that he stuck in the sand. Even Beis Hillel agree, if he already did it, that he would take out that earth once he stuck the shovel in the earth before Yom Tov. And they also all agree, Sheefer, Yeah, b'di'eved, according to Beis Hillel, she'efer kiram muchanu. They also agree that if you have the ash of the oven, that's also something which is easily usable for kisei adam. It's something that's prepared for your use, and that's fine. So that's something which we say, even if you didn't think in advance you're going to use it, ordinarily people used to have multiple uses for the ash in their ovens, and you don't have to think in advance. We say, no, it doesn't require hazmana. If you had that, you burnt logs in your oven before Yom Tov, you knew that you had ash there and you knew you might use it to cover when the baby's made in the house and stuff like that. They used to use it all the time, the ash. So that doesn't need its own preparation.
So this is just an example where Beit Shammai is more lenient.
Correct. Three cases where Beit Shammai are more lenient. First case was the egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Second case was the volume of the chametz that one would be required to burn on Pesach. And third case was, is it enough that a person has the shovel stuck in the earth to use it for covering the blood of the chaya and of? Okay.
One more?
It's a long one. Let's start it. B'Shamay Omri Min Molechin Tasulam Mishovach Leshovach. B'Shamay Shammai say, if you have you have your ladder, and that's a special ladder that's used for your bird nest. So you want to move it from group of nests to another group of nests within your own territory, and people aren't going to see it. So Beis Shammai say, you know, Maris Ayin, when Chazal said, we're worried what people will think, even in your own private territory, if you're going to start moving that ladder around public domain, people will think you're going to do jobs, you're going to fix people's roofs, to paint, who knows what. By the same token, we won't let you carry the ladder around your own private property too much. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molechin Tasula Meshovach Leshovach. We don't let you carry it from your set of bird nests to another set of bird nests. Aval Mateo Mechalon Lechalon. The most we'll let you do is tilt it if you're within one set of bird nests, you know they have those caves where they have a bunch of bird nests, like hundreds. So you could tilt it from one wall to the other. That's fine. But to carry it around isn't okay. And they still say to tilt the ladder from one side to the other side, that's okay. From one nest to the next nest, from window to window, yeah, that's okay. But not from one set to another set to take it to start carrying it around. And Beisela will say, that's fine. You could take it around. We're not worried about Maris Ayin in your private domain when it'll come in contradiction with Simchas Yom Tov. Technically, they agree with Beis Shammai. The things that would seem like Maris Ayin publicly shouldn't be done privately as well. But they say, when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, we're not worried about that.
Marit Ayin is called from a Malach.
Mem Resh Aleph Yud Tov. Marit Aleph Yud Tov. Bet Shammai Umrim Lo Yitol. You shouldn't take birds out of the nest, Elin Ken Yinami Bod Yom, unless you lifted them before Yom Tiv, because otherwise we're worried what's going to happen is you'll pick up a set of birds to take the Shecht for Yom Tiv. You come on Yom Tiv to the bird's nest, you pick up a bird, and you say, wait a second, this one isn't as fat as I thought it was. You'll put it down, and then you'll go for another one. That means the first one you picked up, you carried around Muktzeh prohibitively, because you weren't using it for Simchas Yom Tov. So Beis Shammai said, we don't let you take birds on Yom Tov unless you shook them before Yom Tov. Yeah, you lifted them, you moved them, you moved them, so you know their weight, you know of their the birds you're going to want to eat on Yom Tov. And they still will say, it's enough that he stands by the nest and says, I'm going to eat that one and that one on Yom Tov. He doesn't actually have to lift them. We're not concerned that on Yom Tov, when he lifts them, he'll suddenly realize they were much skinnier than he thought. And Bezat Shem will pick up the Shnadalis.